This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We say good morning to WSMI's Terry Totes.
Thank you, Tim Mize, and good morning. Welcome to Sports Saturday. You know, just a couple of weeks ago, Tim, Team USA, the women's soccer team, wins the World Cup.
Right.
You know, and
big deal.
Soccer in America is kind of riding high. You know, the CONCACAF Cup, the Gold Cup underway, and Team USA, the men's team, loses to Jamaica, a team they probably should not have lost to, and they're going to be playing for third place, and that's okay. But, you know, soccer's kind of on an uptick again when we have these tournaments like the World Cup and the CONCACAF tournament. But FIFA, the governing body.
Oh, boy.
Well, while, you know, the USA soccer has had a pretty good week or a pretty good month, pretty good 6 months, FIFA's been indicted.
And extradited now.
And extradited now. 14 people involved in the American investigation under indictment. And now to basically slap FIFA in the face and say, hey, wake up, Coca-Cola and Visa pulling out.
Officially pulling out?
Well, they're threatening to pull out. And they're saying, hey, get yourself a commission put together and let's get this thing straightened out.
So corporate dollars talk.
Corporate dollars talk. There you go.
Interesting.
The governing body of the most popular sport in the world, in this galaxy.
There you go.
You know.
Slightly corrupt.
Yeah, slightly corrupt.
And
wow. They're talking about money laundering, Tim. They're talking about, you know, money laundering, racketeering, bribes. This is all right out of a mobster movie.
No, you're exactly right. And it's interesting that we're going to be talking to Karen Giannotti coming up here later on in the show. She was just in Qatar
in
March for the Tower Running Championships. We'll hear more from Karen about that a little later on in the show. But, of course, that's kind of what got this whole FIFA scandal bubbling to the surface was when Qatar got the World Cup, I think, in 2020-something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's going to be like 160 degrees there. So they're going to have it in December.
On a cool day.
On a cool day.
Yeah,
before the sun comes up in the morning. So it'll be interesting to see if the World Cup actually winds up being held in Qatar or if it gets moved out. I don't think it's been officially moved out. I think they were going to launch an investigation into the bidding process. So we'll see how that plays out. But if it is there, it's going to be played in December, right?
Well, that's what I understand. Yeah. And they've done that before where they've, you know, when it's been in Australia, they've shifted it to a December thing because that's summertime there. So, but I'm interested to see, you know, here's America. That's dominated by football, baseball, basketball. And this is the country that has all the charges pending and the investigation going. What the heck's the rest of the world doing?
Doing it better. Cheating better.
I
a little more discreet.
I guess.
Although the FIFA president has pretty much taken it on the chin here.
Well, he wasn't even at the Women's World Cup Championship game. Because he says, well, there are things going on. Well, you're going to be arrested when you step on Canadian soil. That's why.
Details, Terry. God. Details.
Anyway, I just thought I'd point that out that, you know, the world's most popular sport had a good month, good 6 months here in the United States, except for the officials that run it. So.
And you know, it really has to chap the folks at FIFA that it's the American judicial system.
Yeah.
Coming down on them because they have to just hate us.
Well,
don't even call it by the right name. We show up every 4 years, pretend like we care, and then we arrest everybody.
Well, you know, they're trying to make inroads, but there's just so much other entertainment value and entertainment dollars that are dollars that are spent on other values, types of entertainment and sports that it, you know, it's a tough niche to fill as far as soccer coming to America. Now it's becoming more and more popular. The MLS has done well, and you know, but it's still
just the MLS.
Yeah, you know, it's still not baseball. It's still not football or basketball. So
in America, we want to see the best in the world. We want to see the best athletes at the top of their game. You get that in basketball. You get the best players in the world coming here. You obviously get that in baseball. Best players in the world coming here. You don't get that in soccer. The best American players are going to Europe because that's where the premier soccer is played. So until that could be viewed in real time here, I don't know how much soccer can really truly grow.
And if you want to see the difference between, you know, Champions League soccer in Europe and World Cup, if you have cable and you can do that, it's different. It's a whole different ball of wax. I mean, World Cup is great soccer because you're playing for your country. But these professional teams in Europe, holy mackerel, the stuff these guys can do, it's incredible.
I mean,
it's a whole new level.
If soccer really wants to take off in America outside of World Cup years,
mm-hmm.
you got to get a guy like a Messi in his prime.
In his prime.
You know, not here. David Beckham when he's done, Pele well after he's done.
Well, you
need in their prime.
And I don't think that would work, Tim. I think you've got to have about a half a dozen people.
You're probably right.
You know, to come over here and
one on each team.
One on each team. And there's so many teams right now, but certainly if you have a half a dozen Messi-type players in America, you're certainly going to draw a lot of attention to the game. So, again, I'm a soccer fan. I admit it. I like watching soccer. I like being around soccer. But, I think it's still going to be a pretty tough sell to match the success that the NBA, the NHL, NFL, Major League Baseball has.
Uphill battle. I'll tell you what, though. That Women's World Cup final was quite exciting. Like, 3 minutes into the game, it was 4-0. Like, this is good.
Yeah.
Scoring from midfield.
Yeah. Carly. Yeah. Well, you know. Take the shot. You never score on a shot you never take.
Miss 100% of the ones you don't take.
You miss 100% of them, so shoot.
That's got to be one of the most helpless feelings, though, in sports. For a goalkeeper like that. That's going over my head. Yeah. That's trouble. And then she slipped on the way back. Oh, no.
Well, as soon as it's launched, you're going, all sorts of colorful metaphors are flashing through your mind.
That's right.
Oh, well, geez. This obviously isn't going to turn out very well.
And that wound up, it was one of the most, I think, watched soccer events ever in America.
In America, So,
and it's amazing the stark contrast between the expectations for the women and the expectations for the men's national teams. It's like if the women don't win the World Cup, somehow it's just a disaster of a tournament and a total failure. Whereas if the men get to the knockout stage, that's pretty good.
Well, but the women have been successful from the very beginnings of the Women's World Cup. So there's an expectation there. And Team USA has never been a consistent powerhouse in the Men's World Cup. So, but they've made strides. They're a little weak on defense right now, I think. But they still have.
They're better than they've been for a while.
They're better than they've been, yes. And Major League Soccer has helped. It has helped. It certainly has in the quality of soccer in MLS compared to 20 years ago, and it's been around 20 years.
Has
now,
it really? Yeah, wow.
Is a lot better. But I agree with you. They need some big time players to come over here but of course they won't make the big time money. That's the problem. It's all about the green stuff.
Yeah. I mean those big time.
When you have a paycheck that's bigger than the GNP of Canada.
Right. It's like Ronaldo and Messi over there. I mean, they're getting paid. I don't know what they're making, but I mean, they're more like LeBron stature than MLS guy like a Clint Dempsey.
Oh yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring attention that we'll see some stuff happen now that the corporate sponsors are clamoring for some action here.
M-O-N-E-Y is the great Uncle Ralph.
That's exactly what I was thinking. M-O-N-E-Y. There you go. 14 people. The USA is investigating 14 people into racketeering, bribery, and money laundering. That's a movie waiting to happen
Yes, it is. Isn't it? Have fun in prison.
Or a cable show.
Yeah. Real life odds.
Yes. Raw locked up with FIFA. Sep in prison.
No shortage of material.
Oh my gosh, no. So, and another thing I wanted to bring up, Tim, we've got Cardinal stuff to talk about, and we have an interview with a young lady who does some power running. Tower running. Yeah.
They climb skyscrapers.
That's incredible. Tower running.
Yeah.
So, but the NBA, the commissioner, Adam Silver, said that even if you win your division, it doesn't guarantee you a playoff spot. They're thinking about changing the way that the NBA lines up its playoff system.
Been a long time coming, I say.
Yeah, and to me, that does away with the need for divisions.
It really does.
You have West, you have East, and you take your best teams and giddy up and go.
Yeah, you get more of a balanced schedule, too.
I
kind of think the idea of conferences is outdated. With as easy as travel is now, going from New York to L.A. is not like it was in 1980 or 1970.
And Major League Baseball is kind of the odd thing because you have the American League and the National League. But in basketball, put everybody in the league, and then your top teams, one will play the lower seed, and you just put them in brackets, and away you go.
And then you have a better sense of who the real good teams are because everybody's playing the same teams the same amount of time.
Yeah. So I think we're going to see major changes in the NBA playoff structure. And
I mean, I don't pay a whole lot of attention to the
NBA. I don't either.
I like to watch the playoffs, but it seems to me Adam Silver has been in the news in a very progressive way here since he became commissioner. He's talked about wanting to legalize sports gambling.
Yeah.
You know, he's the first commissioner to come out in favor of that, which, I mean, that's a long time coming, too. I mean,
well, he's planted the seeds, though.
Yes, he has.
And virtually every state has legalized gambling when they have lotteries and casinos and everything else. So, you know, that. And I'm not saying it's the logical next step, but it is probably the next step.
What did I read the other day? 7 of the 10 largest hotels in the world are in Las Vegas.
Mm.
There's a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a reason.
Unbelievable.
It's popular.
It's popular, yes. We need to get to a break. Sports Saturday rolls on right after this.
Big time pitching matchup today.
Oh, yeah. Big time matchup with Shelby Miller, the former Cardinal. And Carlos Martinez, the man who has been a great, not really surprise, because I always thought Martinez had this in him, but he has stepped up this year.
Big time,
and he's fun to watch.
And there's a reason that every time John Mozeliak made a call inquiring about a trade for a player the last couple of years, that Carlos Martinez was the first name that everybody always wanted. That's who the Braves wanted.
Oh, yeah.
That's who they wanted first. And Mozeliak said, no, you can't have him. Try someone else.
Yeah.
How about Shelby? all right. They didn't want to do it, but they were going to have to give up somebody good to get Hayward, and Shelby wound up being the guy.
And you know, Shelby Miller, I think, has not necessarily prospered with the Braves. The Braves are not prospering so much as far as their record is concerned. But he has certainly, in recent weeks, has pitched very well for them.
Well, he's been very good this year. So. And he's such a young guy.
Yeah.
It's not just as simple as say, well, you know, he got out of St. Louis and now he's thriving in Atlanta. I think he would have had the same type of year with the Cardinals this year. I mean, I think he's only like 22 or 23 years old. I mean, he's still a pup.
Well, they drafted him out of high school. Yeah. And you know, they just don't have a whole lot of run support for the guy. So he pitches well and ends up, you know, on the short end of the stick.
Well, so maybe that wouldn't have changed too much. You know, they're not exactly an offense. They're not the 27 Yankees here, too.
That's true.
But you know, they scored 12 runs last Saturday and then score one run in 18 innings on Sunday.
That's
their offense.
And that's just baseball.
It is.
It's baseball anymore with the pitchers. You know, virtually every team has pitchers that throw 100 miles an hour and relievers that throw 100 miles an hour. And it's certainly changed a little bit.
Well, a guy like Carlos Martinez, I mean, he's touching 98, 99 on his 100th pitch in the seventh inning.
Yeah. Whatever happened to the junkers, you know? you know, the Adam Wainwrights are now the junkers.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, the guys like Randy Choate, the soft-tossing lefty.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, the Jamie Moyers of the world.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going by the wayside.
But they still have a niche to
fill.
They do, because when you don't see that kind of pitching very often, it works out in a tight situation. So,
well, when you've got 100 coming at you, and then all of a sudden you bring in a soft tosser.
At 76.
It's like the Ephus pitch all of a sudden.
Like, where did this come from? Yeah, so. Anyway, before we get too far away from soccer, and we'll get back to Cardinal baseball here, I want to remind everybody that the FC South Central Club soccer team, that's the team coached by Travis Matthews, is going to have their annual high school boys prep camp coming up on August 3rd through 6th at RHSA Field in Raymond. Travis will be focusing on fitness and skills, not just fitness, but skills. And it's a $40 fee. They're going to practice from 6 to 9 every night at the field there in Raymond. You can contact Coach Matthews at fcsouthcentral@gmail.com. That's fcsouthcentral@gmail.com. And that'll be great if you're playing high school soccer coming up this fall. You can get into that and be ready to rock and roll when the season starts.
Yeah, I mean, I would think if you're playing high school soccer and not going to that, you better have a pretty good reason.
Yeah.
You better be out of town on vacation.
Well, and it's not just open to players who play on the club soccer team. It's open to anybody.
So if you're playing high school soccer anywhere in the area, you can pay your $40 and
So
go get some invaluable lessons.
Invaluable lessons, yes, because FC South Central has been a very successful club soccer team. So Back to Cardinal baseball. Cardinals made a move yesterday.
They did. Big move. Mm. Small move, but yet could be big.
Well, it's going to end up being big.
I think so.
If Cardinal history repeats itself like it has, it's going to end up being a brilliant move by John Mozeliak again. As C-Shack from Miami, the relief pitcher, was traded for a double-A pitcher, and he's going to help out in the bullpen. And
C-Shack, I think he's a submariner.
He is. He has all sorts of different pitches. He comes from all different angles. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to – he throws hard, throws strikes. He had a rough start to the year. They sent him down. The last, though, 13 games, I guess, he's had an ERA of about 0.7. So, he's come on strong. And Trevor Rosenthal, 30, 31 saves in the league, has had a lot of success. But, boy, he looks gassed.
Well, you remember last year about this time, he got gassed from the overuse early in the year. And you just wonder if it's a cumulative effect that's just starting to catch up with him. The last week of the first half, he was not good, blew those two games in Pittsburgh. Hasn't really been dominating here out of the gate. He's getting the job done, but boy, he's making it hard on himself. And I read an article the other day. He talked himself into that game the other night, his third day in a row. Mike Matheny. I like Mike Matheny. Yeah. He's a good manager. Yeah. He's doing good things. But this dude has to realize it's his job. His job. Not the player's job. His job. To give him a day off. Like he talked about Molina. He caught 18 innings on Sunday, so I'm thinking, oh, I need to give him a day. I went and talked to him. Yadi said he wanted to play. So he played. Are you kidding me? You're the manager. You don't go ask him. Of course he's going to say he wants to play.
Yeah.
He's a professional athlete. If he says he doesn't want to play, you don't want him on your club. Of course he says he wants to play. You're getting paid to say, no, you're not playing today. Sit down. You're getting paid to tell Trevor Rosenthal, you know what, Trevor? You've been gassed here the last couple of weeks. You've pitched 2 days in a row. I'm glad you want to pitch tonight, but you're unavailable. That's what he gets paid for.
Right.
He doesn't get paid to make the lineup. He doesn't really get paid to make pitching changes. He does in a way. He gets paid to make sure his club is fresh.
Right.
And he just keeps running these guys out there night after night. Segrist has appeared in 50 games. 50 games! That's the most in baseball. 50! We saw what happened last year.
Well, we saw this during the La Russa era.
Yeah.
Lots of innings by the bullpen. Now,
but La Russa, a lot more times than not, though, he would have guys flat out unavailable because they had pitched too much.
Right.
Very rarely is someone unavailable under Mike Matheny.
Right. That's true.
I don't think it's a coincidence that his arms are getting gassed and hurt year after year.
And John Mozeliak, the general manager, realizing down the stretch that bullpens win you ball games, and he goes out there and I think the advantage for the Cardinals is they train with Marlins, in spring training, so they've seen this guy for the last 3 or 4 years at least, and they knew that he was a pretty good pitcher. Got off to a rough start this year, but got things straightened out. So I think he's going to be a good fit.
Part of the problem with the Cardinals bullpen getting overused is they play so many close games that every single night they're in a 1 or 2 run ball game with a chance to win. So you feel like, well, hey, we got to try to win this game.
But that,
and they don't blow enough teams out. They blow the Mets out on Saturday. Then play 18 innings on Sunday. Well, completely counteract that.
Yeah. Baseball is such a goofy sport. It's just a goofy sport, and hitting is contagious. And the Cardinals, I think. Certainly, if the top of the order doesn't produce, as is the case in most, but in particular with the Cardinals, if you don't have Matt Carpenter, doing his thing, they really struggle sometimes. So, and Carpenter the last couple games has been much better.
Yeah, maybe the All-Star break did him some good.
Yeah, so he's struggled though,
big time.
Yeah, so Steve Cishek is the name of the relief pitcher acquired from Miami. So.
And, the Cardinals, Cardinals fans haven't had really much to complain about at all this year because they got off to such a hot start and have just continued it all the way through here as we approach August. But that's what worries me, T, because so very rarely in baseball does the team that's been the best all year wind up doing well in October.
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the Pirates got Aramis Ramirez back, and he has been a known Cardinal killer.
Yes.
So anything that the Cardinals, anytime the Cardinals and the Pirates are going to play for the rest of the year, watch out, because Ramirez has been a guy that's just can decimate the Cardinals.
So is Pedro Alvarez.
Pedro Alvarez, yeah. Those two guys just feast on Cardinal pitching. So I think the Pirates are going to make noise. I'm telling you right
absolutely.
Now. I don't think the Cardinals are going to cruise in by any stretch of the imagination.
And the Pirates have gotten up to a bit of a slow start here in the second half, but they were red hot before that first half ended. And they've proven the last couple of years that they've got what it takes to get it done in crunch time.
Well, they've proven also, like the Cardinals, that just because a couple of key players get hurt, they can continue and be successful. And, you know, I think Clint Hurdle has a lot to do with that, their manager. He's just that kind of guy.
You know, Joe Maddon gets a lot of pub and a lot of press because he's pretty flamboyant, you know, knows how to talk, knows how to play things up. But Clint Hurdle, to me, is a heck of a manager.
Oh, I think he is.
Heck of a manager. Yeah, I mean, to go into Pittsburgh and be able to do what he has done is nothing short of remarkable.
And he's got that city convinced that they're going to win.
He does. And that's not an easy thing to do.
For baseball, you know, that's not an easy thing to do when you compete with the Steelers, who have been overwhelmingly popular and successful over the years, and the Penguins. And, you know, you have to give a lot of kudos to the manager there. So we'll see. I don't think the Cardinals are going to run away with it. I just think the Pirates are going to be right in the middle of things. And that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be. I mean, you want it to be a race down the stretch.
Yeah.
You want to be challenged.
You know, I caught a comment from a Chicago Cubs sports fan on one of the broadcasts out of Chicago. And they were just being a matter-of-fact statement going, you know, he was talking about how people are so jealous of the Cardinals a lot of times, because they have these injuries and they keep on winning. And he says, but that's what every team strives for. You know, that's what we're trying to strive for as Chicago Cubs. You know, get to the point where you have that system built up, you've got talent there, and, you know, you just – because every team has injuries every year. Every team has injuries every year. And do key components that go down generally affect you? Yes. Fortunately for the Cardinals, they seem to somehow battle through it.
And they you're right. I mean, they can do what everybody talks about doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, next man up. Everyone says it. No matter the sport, everyone always says it. It's a hard thing to do, and the Cardinals have managed to do it. Think about if the Dodgers lost Clayton Kershaw for the year 2 weeks into the year, and then lost Adrian Gonzalez for a month and a half. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do?
Well,
you know, you take Bryce Harper and Max Scherzer off the Nationals. Mm-hmm. What are they doing?
Oh, yeah.
You know, the Cardinals have been without Wainwright the whole year. Yeah. Holiday just came back, and they haven't missed a beat.
So
they just keep rolling.
I don't know. It's
pretty amazing stuff.
It is. It's been a rather fruitful era of Cardinal baseball since the current ownership group has come in. So I guess they put a lot of money into scouting and prepping and knowing what's out there as far as the talent is concerned. So, and it pays off in the long run. So,
to me, there's only one thing the Cardinals don't do well, and it's been this way for a number of years: base running.
They're terrible base runners. They're horrible.
Awful. How many outs can you get on the base?
And I don't like hearing people say, "Oh, they're such a great base running."
No. They used to be back in the 80s.
They are.
But just because you're aggressive doesn't mean it's good base running. Like Matheny preaches aggressiveness, which is nice, but you got to be smart.
Yeah.
You know. Like, Matt Carpenter, you're not fast. You're not. Like, I love Matt Carpenter. Mm-hmm. He might be one of the worst base runners I've seen in a long time. He is terrible.
He
just puts his head down and goes.
They lack.
Oh, boy.
They lack.
Something like that can cost you in postseason games. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, look at Colton Wong getting picked off to end the World Series a few years ago. He got picked off again the other day.
Yeah, last night.
Last night. But you know what? It's a good sign when the worst thing you say about the club you root for is, you know, they're really not very good base runners.
Not very good base runners, that's right.
Well, they pitch great. They hit all right. Defense is fabulous. Boy, not good base runners. That 25th guy in the roster really leaves a lot to be desired. Good to be a Cardinals
fan. And Major League Baseball is talking about maybe pushing the trade deadline back.
Probably a good idea with that second wild card.
Yeah. Might be an interesting way to keep that second wild card race alive and more teams involved in it.
Why have a trade deadline at all?
It's like I really don't know.
You know, because now
maybe a month, maybe September 1st.
Because now they've got the non-waiver deadline, so like after July 31st, you can still acquire guys. But if you want them to be on your postseason roster, they have to be on your team before the 1st of September. Still keep that rule in place to where you know you can't just have someone on the last day of the season do a salary dump and have someone available for the playoffs. But in this day and age, why? If you're going to move it back from July 1st, just make it September 1st. Yeah. After that, everything's non-waiver and you're not eligible for the playoffs.
I think that's a great idea. So, and maybe the new commissioner, Rob Manfred, will work with the Major League Baseball Players Association and the owners, and maybe that's how it'll work out. So,
and as of right now, Pittsburgh and the San Francisco Giants hold those wild card spots. Giants, okay. Winners of 9 of 10, have passed the Cubbies by a half game.
Ooh, yeah. Watch out for those Giants.
Dangerous.
Yeah.
And of course, this is odd because it's not an odd year.
Well,
it just, it's every other year for them, or it is an odd year. I mean, they win the World Series in even years.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, they usually tank in the.
They have, at least. They won the World Series in 10, injuries and bad in 11, and on it's gone for them. So. 3 of 5 years winning the championship.
Nonetheless, whatever happens, great pitching matchup tonight with Carlos Martinez and Shelby Miller. So
That's a must-see.
This should be a heck of a ball game tonight. So, and, of course, we'll have Cardinals on AM 1540 tomorrow with the Braves at 1220 on AM 1540. So.
Hopefully they're going for the sweep.
Let's go. Let's go. Giddy up and go.
That's right.
Let's take a break. We'll come back with more. We've got a tower runner. Tower.
World-class tower
runner. World-class tower runner.
From Carlinville.
From Carlinville. This is impressive.
Yes.
The places she's been. Wow.
World traveler.
Yeah.
We'll talk to Karen Gennadi next on Sports Saturday.
Back here on WSMI Sports Saturday, and a chance now to catch up with a local Carlinville woman, Karen Gennadi. And earlier this year, back in March, Karen was in Qatar for the World Championships of Tower Running. And Karen, thank you so much for joining us here on Sports Saturday. What an experience you had here in March over in Qatar. But I guess first things first, what in the world is tower running?
Tower running is probably one of the hardest sports that you've never heard of before. Most people don't even know that it is a sport, but it is. Tower running is the name of it. Some people call it stair climbing. The correct term is tower running. And what that is racing to the top of tall skyscrapers. I'm on a team that's actually based out of L.A., and even though the team is based out of L.A., the team members are from all over the United States. I just have to say, first off, that I have gotten so much education about the sport and encouragement from all of my other team members. I would not have been able to achieve what I have in the sport if it wasn't for the team members. But a lot of people don't understand that it really is a sport. Most of the tower running events in the United States are fundraisers for things such as cystic fibrosis, and many of them are for the American Lung Association. So we usually have to pay an entry fee to enter the contest of racing to the top of the tower, and then we do fundraising. And one of the big misunderstandings about the sport is people think that we are actually running up the stairs, which that's understandable since the sport is called tower running, but we're actually climbing the stairs. And it's the most efficiently done if you step on every other step and use the hand railing to help pull yourself. If you start out running the stairs, you'd probably get about 10 floors up and think, what in the world just happened to me? Because you're going vertical, not horizontal, and it is so much harder to carry your body vertically than it is horizontally.
We are talking with Karen Gennadi, Carlinville woman who was in Qatar back in March competing in the Tower Running World Championships. And Karen, I guess my next question for you is, how did you discover tower running? Because like you said, it's an obscure sport.
Actually, the first stair climbing or tower running event I ever did was about 25 years ago in Springfield at the Hilton Hotel, and it was a fundraiser for the American Lung Association. And I went into it not knowing how to do it at all, and like most people who had not been educated, I started running up those stairs and immediately thought, what's the matter with me? I can go out and go for a run and don't feel like this. So that was my first event that I did. And then after that, I never heard about any of the other events. Until about 7 years ago, there was another event at the Hilton Hotel in Springfield. And this time I trained for it, and I actually had a team there, which I still do. They've been having the event going on 6 years now. And I met some people who were at that event who knew some others that were doing the events around the United States. a very good friend, John Osborne from Springfield, really helped me to further my education about how to compete in the event. And he was already on the West Coast Labels team that I am on, that's based out of L.A., and so many wonderful people on that team helped me to understand more about the sport and educate me on where other events were being held. And so each year I just continued to add more events to my schedule. And I believe this year, by the end of the year, I will have competed in, I think, 12 or 13 events. It's just such a rewarding experience when you get to the top.
Oh.
During the event, you're thinking, why in the world did I sign up for another one of these things? And then it's when you get to the top, you're talking to all your teammates about when's the next one you're going to do. So it is very rewarding.
When you get to the top, do you admire the view?
Once I pick myself up from the floor, yeah.
Karen Giannotti joining us on Sports Saturday. And I guess, Karen, let's talk about how you wound up in these world championships in Qatar. Is this something that you had to qualify for?
Yes. In the Tower Running Association, there are 44 countries who are involved in that. And the Tower Running Association ranks any person who is competing in the event. So you needed to be ranked in the top 100 in the world out of 44 countries in order to be considered for world championships. The highest I've ever been ranked in the world is number 6 in the world, and right now I believe I'm number 19th in the world and number 7th in the United States. But I do have to clarify that just because, like, right now I'm ranked 19 in the world, that doesn't mean I'm the 19th fastest woman in the world. The buildings that we climb carry a point value, and that is usually based on how tall the building is. And then from there, our placing in that building has a higher value if we are competing against many other world-ranked tower runners. So, for example, I could do a small stair climb event, and an example of that was one that I did in Dallas, and I won the event, although that did not give me as many points because I was not competing against other highly ranked tower runners. Another example on the other side would be racing up the Sears Tower in Chicago, which is a highly recognized event. There are a lot of runners from all over the world who compete there, so if I do well there, I'm going to get more points there. So that's how a world ranking is based, is on how many points you get. So it also stands to reason the more events that you compete in, you're going to get a higher ranking.
What building did you guys use in Qatar?
It is called the Doha Torch, and it is probably one of the most unique, beautiful buildings I have ever seen. It is shaped like an Olympic torch, and where it was based is in the Aspire Village, which is the largest training facilities for Olympic sports. I think there's only 4 Olympic sports that cannot be trained for at the Aspire Village. So not only was it just a huge experience to be able to compete in World Tower Running Championships, but to be in this area that is really built for Olympic athletes, everything, how the hotel was decorated to the food we were served was like we were being treated like Olympians. And it was televised. That's the only one I've ever been to that was televised. There were a lot of things that were done differently about it that I was not used to. usually we are placed at the bottom of the stairs in a building, and we're usually seated as, you know, like faster ones in front, so that you don't end up with this traffic jam in the stairwell.
Sure.
But in Qatar, we had a small run on the first day, small run before we even got into the building, which I'm really not a runner, and so I wasn't used to that, but it went well. And I knew that in order to go on to the second and third events of the World Championships, I needed to be in the top 30, which I was. I placed number 15 on the first day. And so had I not placed in the top 30, I would have been done then. But I did place number 15, so then I was able to compete in two more events that were held the next day. And the last event was a shotgun start, and it was probably about a 200-meter run before we ever got into the building. Well, that was something that I wasn't used to, but actually my goal for when I went there was just to make it to the finals, which I did, and ended up placing 15th, so I was pleased with that.
Karen, you talked about how it was an Olympic training site that you were able to take in Qatar. In a lot of ways, you were representing America, because I believe you were just one of two Americans there participating?
I was one of two American women there, and there were three men that represented the United States of America also. And it really did feel that way, especially at the awards ceremony, because they played the country's national anthem for the people who were standing on the podium to receive their rewards. So, and that was really awesome to witness, and that was televised also. I just felt wonderful for everyone who was there. When I go to a stair climbing competition, I usually have two goals. If I've done the building before, my goal is to try to do it faster than I did before, and my other one is to encourage someone else at that event, usually someone that I don't know. I don't have any problem encouraging my teammates, but I always want to encourage someone else, because I receive so much encouragement from others, and it has helped me so much. And you never know how much just one or two words can mean to a person, you know. Even though I might look at them and feel inferior to them, they're probably feeling the same way about themselves. So, I also know that it's been proven that we experience less pain when we put forth encouragement to others. So, you know, what you put out, you get back to you.
That's exactly right. Karen Giannotti joining us here on WSMI Sports Saturday, talking about the World Championships in Tower Running that were held in March in Qatar. And Karen, I guess it's safe to say that this experience was kind of the old experience of a lifetime.
Yes, it was. When I first got the invitation, and I did receive a travel voucher, I was one of 16 women to be offered a travel voucher to go. My first thought was, I can't go to Qatar. And then I got to thinking about it, and I mentioned it to my husband, who was very supportive. So between talking to my husband and my two sons, we realized that, yeah, this is a chance of a lifetime. I also have a trainer myself, even though I'm a trainer, and I remember him saying to me that this is your Olympia, that I should go. So then I put all the worries about it aside and decided I will go and do the very best that I can. I felt a little bit of pressure knowing that I was one out of two American women representing the United States. But it's just like anything else. You do the very best that you can and feel good about that. If you find out that there was something you could have done differently, well, the next time you climb, that's your chance to improve on whatever it was you need to do differently.
So, Karen, you finished 15th in the World Championships in Qatar. What's next for you in terms of the tower running?
Well, actually, since then, I have done another competition, and that was a very special one, probably for a little different reason. and that was at One World Trade Center in New York.
Oh, wow.
It was the inaugural stair climb event there, which that's one of the reasons that I wanted to do it, but also just for what the building stands for. That building represents that even though, you know, we were attacked, that we are still standing strong. Many of the people that did the stair climb that day did it in memory of people who lost their lives there. There were many first responders who did the stair climb who actually were first responders at the Twin Towers when they went down. There was a beautiful ceremony before, and so even though it was a stair climb where I really wanted to do well as far as my time, which is usually what I'm focused on at a stair climb, I have to say it really didn't matter to me what my time was there, because just what the climb represented. When we got to the top, we all got to sign a concrete wall and write a little message, and that's something that will always be at One World Trade Center, and so that's a very memorable one. Next event is in L.A., and it's at the U.S. Bank Climb, which is one that I have done for probably 5 years now, so that my goal definitely there is to try to do my best, but I have quite a bit to live up to there.
You've set the bar pretty high for yourself, haven't you?
Yeah, that's the way to get things done. That's
impressive.
Impressive.
Holy. Who knew tower running could take you around the world and back, huh?
Well, that's really, and in particular, getting to participate in the Trade Center competition. That was just absolutely awesome.
Whew. Amazing.
Kind of gives you chills, doesn't it?
It really does.
It really does. Yeah.
She was one, as she said, one of five Americans over there in Qatar.
In Qatar. Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
How do you train for that stuff? I mean, that, you know, just the mental aspect of it, just like any Olympian type sport, any sport that you're going to excel in, you just have to be mentally tough.
Well, I mean, the mental aspect in that sport has to be so.
Because you're by yourself.
You're by yourself. You know, you're halfway up this skyscraper think, oh my gosh.
Wow. Impressive lady.
Yeah. Very much. From Carlinville.
From Carlinville.
Wow. Yeah.
We're going to have to kind of follow her progress here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'll keep in touch now.
Good.
That's her great. Team's based out of L.A.
The team is based in L.A. I figured maybe there would be a Midwest team, but it's
not. Yeah, I don't think so. You know, she trains locally.
Yeah.
And then spreads out.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting ladies.
Very much, yes. So
I'm glad you joined us here on the sports show.
Worked out well.
It worked out very well. So good luck to her.
Absolutely. But yeah, I thought it was interesting. The building that they climbed in Qatar was shaped like basically an Olympic torch, like Karen said. But she said only four Olympic sports can't train there.
That's,
like a training ground.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Very cool.
Wow.
Doesn't make me necessarily want to go out and climb a skyscraper, no. You know, but I'll leave that to the professionals.
Climbing bleachers at a football
game is hard enough
sometimes,
you know. It really is. I mean, we've all been in that scenario, like in a building where the elevator's gone out, and you got to take the stairs.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
Just walking at a leisurely pace.
You know, the first flight,
that's okay.
Floor, okay. Second floor, third floor.
Fourth floor, I'm waiting for the elevator to be fixed.
Yeah, I'm going, come on, get this thing fixed. Get it running, man. Oh, geez. So, anyway.
And, of course, the great thing about that is, most of it is for charity.
Right.
A lot of it for the American Lung Association, cystic fibrosis, those types of things. So very good causes.
And she mentioned signing the chunk of concrete on top of the Trade Center, the new Trade Center. So that was pretty special.
Like you said, goosebump situation,
at
the least.
Yeah, one of those. Whew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so congratulations to Karen Gennady on a job well done.
Terrific. Oh, so how do you top that, Tim?
I don't think we do. I don't think we do. We can tell people we got Cardinal baseball tomorrow.
Yeah, we got Cardinal.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's
but it's no
good.
It's no tower running.
Well, believe it or not, we're just about a month away from Football Friday.
Believe that last Friday in August they'll kick off.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be 1,000 degrees.
Sure, more than likely for the first couple weeks, probably.
Remember last year, week two, we had that nasty storm that rolled through.
Oh yeah,
the games got rained out and canceled.
Yeah.
And I dumped like seemingly a foot of water on the field in minutes.
You know, that comes along every 4 or 5 years. Yeah. It seems like we have one night that's just awful. with thunderstorms and, you know, tornadic warnings and stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
So with Football Friday basically a month away, that means our football preview show about 3 weeks out. We'll have that the Saturday before the season kicks
off.
We'll
also be looking forward to talking to Matt Trohoff from the Illinois High School Association. Of course, the IHSA has a new executive director since Marty Hickman has stepped down from that position. He's still with the IHSA as an advisor. But they have a new executive director, and they're working on various other things for high school sports and how to administer it better and how they go through the process of changing rules for various sports and that sort of thing. So it's always good to catch up with Matt. He's very, very knowledgeable young man.
Yeah, we had him. I think the last time we had him on, we were talking about the proposed changes to the football playoff system,
right,
which did not pass. So
did not pass.
The playoffs will be the same this year as they've been in years past.
But changing this year will be the way they set up postseason tournaments for soccer, volleyball, basketball, baseball. They're going back to basically the sectional complex, where they're trying to guarantee the best teams get to the sectional tournament. So there's going to be some travel involved.
Yeah, locally for our teams, the sectional complex wasn't the best because, boy, there was some big-time travel in those early rounds. But when you look at it for the long-term viability of the postseason tournament, you're better off tournament-wise if you can have the best teams in the later rounds.
Well, you know,
upsets are nice.
Sure.
We talked about before at the end of the tournament. Everybody loves those upsets in the first week. You don't want to see George Mason on the Final Four weekend.
No. When you have the best teams at the tournament, you generally have the best crowds.
That's right.
So that's why they've gone back. And this is not just something they arbitrarily do, Tim. It's feedback from coaches, athletic directors. It's kind of a democratic process here that they go about changing all this.
Yeah, they don't do it just because they want to.
That's a lot of people think that's how it's done. And again, the Illinois High School Association is not run by the state of Illinois.
Right.
It's a separate private organization.
Thankfully.
So, yes.
If it was run by Illinois, they'd be bankrupt and out of business by now, for goodness sake.
Only a few Chicago politicians think that.
That's right. But I'm trying to remember now. Originally, when the sectional complex went into play, was that before or after basketball went to four classes? Was it still a two-class system in basketball when that sectional complex?
I don't really remember.
It's close. It's right it's around close, the same yeah, time period. Yeah.
I think it came in before it went to four classes, but I'm not sure.
I wonder if that will have any sort of changing effect on the sectional complex being four classes. I don't know.
It could. It could make for more travel, a lot more travel.
Won't be less.
You know, travel that we normally see maybe in the sectional level, we may see in the regional tournament, the opening rounds. So.
And Edwardsville High School says, oh, you got to travel?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah.
That's cute. We go to Chicago every week.
Yeah. Just another weekend Road Warrior story from the Edwardsville Tigers.
That's what happens. You're the only 4A school south of I-80.
That's right. Have a great weekend, Tim.
All right, you too, T.
That's it for Sports Saturday here on WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville. Your 50,000-watt sports voice in Mid-Illinois. We've got news on the hour coming up next.